We're going to commence our worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 58. The hymn 58, Jesus the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. The hymn number 58, we're keeping our seats while we sing. Just bow together in a word of prayer. Let us ask for the Lord's presence with us here this Sabbath morning. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we are in thy house able to sing thy praises. We recognize this morning that thy name is high over all, that every knee shall bow and every knee one day shall confess that thou art Lord. We thank thee that although thy throne is far above the thrones of men, although thou art omnipotent, yet, Lord, we rejoice that we can come into thy courts and we can bow at thy feet and we can give thee thanks for thy protecting and hand of blessing even upon our lives. We thank thee, O God, for that time in our experience when we came and we tasted, and we found that thou art indeed good. We rejoice, Lord, that thou hast blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and that thou hast given us the desire even to come into thy courts and to worship with thy people, thy holy name. We recognize, Lord, that this is a privilege even to gather in this fashion and to worship at thy feet. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us to express our praise. Help us, Lord, to praise thee not just from the lips, but from the depths of our hearts. Help us, like the hymn writer, to count our many blessings and to name them one by one. Help us, Lord, even to recognize in the trials and troubles of life that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Lord, help us to see thy hand in our lives, even day by day. We thank thee for each that have gathered to worship thee this morning. Thou knowest their hearts. Thou knowest the matters that they are facing in life, and we ask, O God, that you would give to thy children grace, grace abounding, and help to face the trials and to face tomorrow, and that they might be able to overcome every trial, every trouble. Help them, Lord, even to overcome the temptations of the wild and wiles of the devil, even in these days as well. Remember, Lord, those who are not able to be with us, we pray for thy hand to be upon them. We think of the sick, Lord, encourage them in their own souls, and we pray, touch them in body, raise them to health and strength. We remember those in hospital especially. We think of Mrs. Heather Beatty and also our brother, Mr. Sidney Begley. Be with them. Others, Lord, are isolating at this time as well. Encourage them and keep your hand upon them for good. Remember those who mourn this morning. We remember even, Lord, our brother, the Reverend Gordon Dean, even in the passing of his mum in the past week, just a few months after the passing of his father. We thank thee that she knew thee and is with thee. But Lord, we pray that as the family mourn, encourage them. We remember also even today those who mourn in our community. Remember Pastor Fugard's family, even at this time as well. We pray that you would give to them grace and help in their time of need. Give them the oil of joy for mourning, even at this time. So, Lord, be with us this morning. As we read the scriptures, we pray that we might hear thy voice speaking to us this morning. Help us to open up the book. Lord, we recognize that if we come and we gather and we speak, but we don't see thee, then we have failed. Oh, that we might see thee this morning. So, Lord, come today. Draw close to us. Help us even to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in all things to glorify thy name. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the Old Testament and to the book of Exodus and to the chapter 28. The book of Exodus and the chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, we'll read from the beginning of the chapter a few verses, and then we'll skip down to the latter part of the chapter. But we're commencing in verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Then we're skipping down to verse 39. Verse 39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thigh they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be as a statue forever unto him and his seed after him. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage of our service, I'd like to bid each of you a very warm welcome along to our service here this morning. We trust that we'll know the Lord's presence and the Lord's help as we open up the word of God. Also like to say a word of welcome to those who are watching online this morning as well. Do remember the service, our gospel service this evening at 7 p.m. It will be preceded by the season of prayer at 6:15 in the committee room. And God willing, I will be here to bring the word of the Lord. Communion will be after the evening service. Since COVID restrictions are gradually being relaxed, we will be reviewing our seating arrangements in the near future. However, for tonight, we would still ask that those remaining for communion sit on the right and the center. Not my right, but your right, on this side and in the center. And those who are not able to remain around the table, they could sit on this side and in the gallery. Our prayer meeting will be, as usual, Tuesday evening at 8 p.m., and it will be held in the Minor Hall. Last week, we began using hymn books again on the Tuesday evening. And just to reassure those who may be concerned about COVID contact surfaces, the books are set out just before the meeting by our committee men wearing gloves, and they're put away and will not be used then again until the following Tuesday. The Beamline meeting will be on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., and we encourage the boys and girls to come along on Wednesday night. Youth fellowship will be on Friday evening at 8 p.m., and I will be the speaker at the youth this Friday night. We had a couple of weeks ago been looking at our Bible, the various divisions in the Bible, the different types of book. But this Friday night, I want to look at its timeline and how we got chapters and verses and the other divisions in the Word of God. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday School and Bible class will be at 10:30 a.m. The service is the usual times, 11:30 and 7. The prayer times, 10:45 a.m. and 6:15 p.m. And in the will of God, I will be here to bring God's word. And next Lord's Day morning, we'll be continuing our series on the high priest's garments, and we'll be looking at the robe of blue. Our presbytery have decided to hold another online time of prayer, which will be open to all. This will be via Zoom on Saturday the 19th of February from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And the link will be made available shortly. Also, this summer, the Mission Board planned to hold the United Children's Camp on the first week in August at Moyallan, just outside Guildford. This will be for children aged between 8 and 12. So please remember that, the Children's United Camp. And if you would like to go on that, if you would go on to the Free Presbyterian Mission Board site, there are application forms available that you can download and then forward. Could I also just say a word of thanks this morning? I suppose I was off last week and in isolation and Tuesday night as well. And it's when something like that happens, you begin to appreciate even the online ministry. And it was nice last Sunday morning and night under the prayer meeting to be able to be listening to the preaching of the Word of God. So I want to say a very sincere word of thanks to our team. They're hidden up there in the back, but they do an excellent job. And we want to say a sincere word of thanks to them for giving of their times and their skills to do that. We're going to sing another hymn together. We're going to sing the hymn 33, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. The hymn 33, we're keeping our seats while we sing four verses of the hymn. Thank you. We commenced a couple of weeks ago a study on the garments of the high priest, and just maybe draw up pictures. Yes, we have there the tabernacle, and you remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at the consecration of the high priest. He was brought to the door of the tabernacle. There he was washed, and there he was adorned with his garments. In the next slide, we have a picture of the garments worn by the high priest. We're going just from the top. There was the mitre on his head, and then on his shoulders there was two onyx stones, a stone on each side, and engraved upon those onyx stones was the names of the tribe, six on one shoulder, six on the other shoulder. Then we come down a little farther, we have the breastplate. We have there the 12 stones, a stone representing each of the tribes. And of course, a different stone was for each of the tribes. And then we had the curious girdle. The curious girdle was just wrapped around his garments, and it was tied there. And then below that, there was the garment of the ephod. This is the colors that would have been in the ephod. We don't know for sure what the actual design would have been, but this would have been the colors. And then beneath that, you had the robe of blue. And, of course, there was a very important fringe set there at the bottom of the robe of blue. And then beneath that, you had the linen coat. In studying the garments of the high priest, I'm not going to study them in the order that I just give them to you, but I'm going to study them as the high priest would have put them on. So I'm going to look at the garments as they would have been from the inside out. And in the next slide, we have here the linen coat. That's the first garment that the high priest would have put on. And it was embroidered round the top. And then, of course, there was also a linen girdle that he would have wrapped around and kept this garment tight to him. He also wore breeches. The breeches would have been worn under the linen garment. And, of course, that was very important as well, because you have here a picture of the priest and the high priest there at the altar offering up the sacrifices. And, of course, the altar was raised up. The priest would have climbed a number of steps. And so in wearing even the breeches would have protected his modesty. So that's the garment I want you to keep in your mind this morning: the high priest, the linen coat, the linen girdle, and those breeches. And we'll want to consider the significance of them. So please keep that picture even in your mind. We're going to ask you to stand for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the privilege of gathering with thy people in thy house around thy precious word. We thank thee that thou hast given to us thy Spirit. We thank thee that he is able to teach us and instruct us. He's able to take the word and apply it to our hearts. And Lord, we ask that even as we come now around thy word, that thou wouldst take away every distracting thought. Oh, that we might see the high priest, but yea, be more than that, that we might see our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, to that end, I ask thee for help. Take away every distracting thought. Bring to my mind what thou would have us to say. And Lord, apply it to this preacher's heart and to every heart in hearing even this day. So close us in with thyself, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. The book of Exodus, the chapter 28, and I want to draw your attention to that verse 39, Exodus 28 and the verse 39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. Mark Twain, the author of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, one said, clothes make the man. As we come into this chapter, we have recorded for us the garments worn by the high priest. In verse 2, we are told that they were holy garments and that they were designed for beauty and for glory. And as such, they were to be made of the very finest material. Instead of using ordinary linen, they were to use fine linen. And in verse 39, we're told that the linen coat was to be embroidered. Again, the chains which held the brass plate in place were not merely to be made of gold, but they were to be made of pure gold. And the stones that were set into the brass plate were to be precious stones. Each of the garments were to be wrought with cunning or with skilled hands. Eventually, bringing Moses, the high priest, to the door of the tabernacle, he was there to anoint him, not just with ointment, but he was to anoint him with costly ointment. You see, only the best and the highest quality of materials were to be used. And as such, the high priest, coming forth from the courts of the tabernacle, he would have stood out. He would have stood head and shoulders above the rest of the other priests. There was none, as you would have seen even in the picture today, there was none like unto him in glory and in beauty. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is not an inferior, but he is a superior priest. There is none like unto him in glory or in majesty or in holiness. Indeed, gazing upon him, the Shulamite woman cried out, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chief among 10,000. Not only was he white or pure and ruddy or of full health, but he was the chiefest of 10,000. There was none who were like unto him. And you see, whatever excellencies there are in any other, they are eclipsed by the surpassing excellencies that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is before all and he is above all in purity and in power. A young girl meets a man, and after a few weeks she falls in love with him. And one day she comes in to work and all her colleagues gather around her and they asked her, "What did you see in him?" And I wonder this morning, as you come to gaze upon Christ, what do you see in him? Is he the chiefest of 10,000 to your soul? My, is he more beautiful? Is he more majestic to you than to any other person? Do you love him more? Do you love him more than you love any other individual? Is he the chiefest? Is he the greatest? Is he the most beautiful of all, even to your soul? And so I want this morning to consider the high priest. In so doing, I want to firstly look at this linen coat. I want you to notice, therefore, here his sanctity. In contrast to the other garments, this inner coat at first glance seemed very plain. However, in closer examination, we discover that not only was it beautifully and skillfully embroidered, but notice here that it was spotless. Setting forth its details, the Lord said, verse 39, "And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen." In the book of Ezekiel, we are told that fine linen prevents the body from sweating. And on the three occasions that sweat is mentioned in the scripture, it is always associated with sin. And as such, this robe being made of fine linen, it was free from sweat, or it was free from sin. Again, in the book of the Revelation, we're told there that fine linen speaks of righteousness. This coat extending over the high priest's shoulders and flowing right down to the ground and having long sleeves, it covered his entire body. Again, in John chapter 19, verse 23, we're told there that this robe, that it was without seam. And as such, we see that this robe, which speaks of righteousness, not only covered the high priest's entire frame from head to foot, but there were no seams or there were no breaks in it. And as this garment, the garment of Christ's righteousness, is complete, there are no seams or breaks in it, and it covers his entire life. Indeed, the Lord, facing the subtlety of Satan in the wilderness, he not only overcame him, but being confronted with a man taken with an unclean spirit, this man said in Mark chapter 1, verse 24, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" From the word "us" there, it is clear that this was not merely this man that was speaking, but it was the demons within him who were speaking. And while they hated the Lord Jesus and they longed to condemn him, yet gazing at every aspect of his life, they were forced to admit that he was without blemish. You see, Christ is not only the sovereign Son of God, but he is the sinless Son of God. In the whole of his biography, there is not a single faulty word or dot. Even Pilate, lifting his voice, he confessed, "I find no fault in him." Judas Iscariot cried out, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Isn't it strange that the enemies of Christ were more honest than some today who profess to be his friends? We have some today standing in pulpits and joining with Professor Davey. They deny the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would tell us that when he went to the cross, that there that he sinned. But my friend, the truth this morning is that no evil thought ever crossed his mind. And as a child, he never disobeyed his mother, being crucified despite being in the depths of agonies. He never yielded to temptation. And I wonder this morning, as you lift up your eyes and as you look upon your great high priest, do you see his holiness? Do you see his righteousness today? You see, believer, if we are going to be like Christ, then there needs to be a dealing with sin in our hearts and in our lives. There needs to be a putting away of every transgression. There needs to be a driving out of our hearts of those things that are even questionable. You see, as we look at this garment, we're reminded that Christ was clothed in righteousness. There was no impurity, no imperfection in him. Not only was it spotless, but you notice it was secure. Having made and embroidered the coat, we read verse 39, "And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of the fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework." There was also to be a girdle. This girdle here is not to be confused with the curious girdle which is mentioned in verse 8. It was a separate girdle, and it was specifically made for this linen coat. Being tied around his middle, it would have stopped this linen coat from moving. It would have held the coat firmly in its place. Then on top of it, he was to put the robe of blue, the ephod, the curious girdle, and then the breastplate. And as such, this linen coat, or this coat of righteousness, it was held firmly in place. There never was a possibility of it slipping or it falling off the high priest. And you see, the robe,
of our great high priest's righteousness is not only spotless, but it is secure. There was never a possibility of Christ losing his righteousness. Indeed, speaking to the Ephesians and setting forth the greatness of Christ, Paul said in Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He reminded them that Christ was not only above the demons and the rulers of hell, but far above every other power and might. And as such, if he is the greatest of the great, then there was no possibility of any individual or any demon overcoming him or causing him to stumble. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ not only did not sin, but it was not possible for the Lord Jesus Christ to sin. He was, as theologians put it, impeccable. Sometimes people argue if it was not possible for the devil to overcome the Lord Jesus Christ, then his temptations surely in the wilderness were not real. In the Kosovo War, there was never a possibility of Yugoslavia overcoming the forces of NATO. Nevertheless, the attacks of the Yugoslavian army upon the forces of NATO, they were still very real, very real. The Savior's impeccability did not do away with the reality of his temptations. While his temptations were as great, in fact, while his temptations were far, far greater than any temptation that we have ever faced, there never was a possibility of Christ being overcome. You see, my friend, there's only one thing that God cannot do, and that one thing is sin. His righteousness was never in question, nor can it be broken. Why we cry today like those seraphims, holy, holy, holy. His life was one of perfect righteousness, a righteousness that could not be destroyed. He not only did not sin, but we need to remember that he could not sin. Not only was it secure, but notice it was stipulated. The laying down its pattern, the Lord said, verse 43, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation. According to the Jewish writers, the high priest did not wear all of his garments all of the time. When he was not engaged in official duties, he did not wear the robe of blue. He did not wear the mitre upon his head. However, it didn't matter where he was, it didn't matter when it was, he always wore this linen robe. In coming into the courts of the tabernacle, it was absolutely essential. Without it, he would have been stricken down dead in a moment. In fact, until he put on this robe of righteousness, he could not put on any of the other garments. You see, the righteousness of Christ, our great high priest, was not only exceptional, but it was essential. Without it, he could never have become our substitute, nor our supplicator. Later, speaking to the same people, he said in Leviticus 22:21, and whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering, it beeves or sheep. It shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. And he reminded them that if the offering was to be accepted, it had to be without blemish. Had there been the slightest tear in Christ's righteousness, God the Father would never have accepted his sacrifice. His work of atonement on the cross would have failed. People say, well, why is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ so important? It is simple, because if Christ sinned, then I and you are still in your sin. You see, those who deny the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ are not seeking to help their fellow man by bringing down the standard of righteousness, but they are robbing them of all hope. Because if Christ was not righteous, he could not have been our sacrifice. He could have not have borne the sins of his people. And his sacrifice not being accepted, we would still be in our sin. How important it is that we recognize the righteousness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was absolutely righteous, without any imperfection. And having no sin of his own, he was then able to make atonement for you and for I. And believer, we're to be like our great high priest. We're to be seeking also to be holy. Not only do we notice here his sanctity, but I want you to notice his splendor. This garment, although white, yet being embroidered, it would have been extremely beautiful. Adorning and beautifying the high priest, it set forth the gentleness of his person. Setting down the particular threads to be used in the making of this garment, we read verse 39, "And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen." It was not merely to be made of linen, but it was to be made of fine linen. Experts who have examined similar pieces of linen weaved in the days of Moses tell us that there were more threads per square inch than would be possible even in our day. In the book, The Manners and Customs of the Ancient Egyptians, Sir Gardner Wilkerson tells us that it was comparable in touch to silk. Being fine, there was no roughness, there was no hardness in it. And like this garment, Christ is gentle and soft in his nature. There is no roughness or hardness in him. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of himself, quoting the words of his Father, spoken away back in the days of Isaiah, he said in Matthew 12, verse 20, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth unto victory." Nothing is more flimsy than a bruised reed. The slightest breeze is able to bend it and to break it in two. And as such, by this image, he was indicating that such was his gentleness that he would not break or bruise even the most fragile. You see, there's not only a greatness in Christ, but there's a gentleness in Christ. In his dealings with his people, he is tender and he's compassionate. Describing him, Charles Wesley wrote, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee." And sadly, some today, and they like to picture the Lord Jesus Christ as some type of tyrant, one who is devoid of a heart, devoid of compassion, one who is standing, looking over us, waiting, hoping that we might feel, that we might sin, so that then he might take the rod and that he might beat us. But he is tender, full of compassion. He stands ready to soothe your weary brow. He stands ready to encourage your weary soul. You see, there is no harshness in Christ. He's full of compassion and he's gentle. And believer, if we are to be like him, then we also need to be gentle. We need to be mild. We need to be those who are approachable, those who don't break the bruised reed. Just as the reed being bruised, the smallest breeze would have broke it, we're to be gentle. Gentle in all of our dealings with those who are around us. Christ was full of compassion, tender and merciful. Not only the gentleness of his person, but we notice the glory of his person, describing the purpose of these garments, including the linen coat. We read there in verse 2, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." In making these garments, Moses was not only to employ the very best of artists, but he was to use only the very best of materials. Finishing them, we're told that they were beautiful and they were attractive to the eye. And the reason for their splendor was that they would inspire within the hearts of the people a reverence and awe, even of the high priest. Why was he to wear these garments? Because he was not as others. He was to be held in awe and respected. And you see, Christ, our great high priest, is not only to be loved, but he is to be reverenced. We're to hold him in the highest possible esteem. Indeed, speaking to the children of Israel, the psalmist said in Psalm 33, verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." There was not merely to be a fearing of the Lord, but there was to be an awing of the Lord. The Lord is to be reverenced. He's to be held in the highest possible esteem. Sadly, many today, and they have lost this holy awe. They look upon the Lord just as their mate. Don't we often hear people talking about the Lord and they describe him as the man upstairs? They come into his presence casually. They treat him as they treat their neighbor. But believer, if we reverence earthly kings, how much more ought we to reverence the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And the high priest, he was dressed in this manner to set him apart, that he would be reverenced. And so when we're coming before the Lord, we should come. We should come reverently, recognizing that he's no ordinary priest, recognizing that he is the Savior, the one who died for us. Hold him in awe. Don't treat him casually. Not only the glory in his person, but there was the guilelessness of his person. Verse 42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach." Beneath this long flowing garment, he was to wear linen breeches. They stretch from his navel right down to his knees. And the reason for them was to prevent his nakedness being exposed when he would climb the steps to the brazen altar. You see, as the high priest ministered in the tabernacle, nothing of his flesh was seen. And in the ministry of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing of the flesh was ever seen. There was no sinful anger. There was no impatience. There was no jealousy or useless strife. there was nothing of the flesh. And believer, if we're to be like him, then in our ministry, in our witness, there should be nothing of the flesh. There needs to be a slaying of anger, a slaying of impatience, a slaying even of the flesh. Surely also, even in the breaches, we are reminded of modesty. He would climb those steps. His garment would go down to the ground, but there wore the breeches to secure his modesty. And does it not remind us also today of our need of modesty? That as believers, we should not be immodest in our dress. We should be modest in all that we do, and even in the way that we dress. Oh, he came. As he came in, we see his glory. Oh, believer, have high views of Christ. Hold him in the highest possible esteem. But lastly, we notice not only his sanctity and his splendor, but there was a service. They were, according to verse 39, then to make a linen girdle or a belt. Of course, the belt binding up the long flowing garments, it enabled the high priest to go about his duties. And as such in Scripture, the girdle speaks to us of service. But you notice here that his service is secret. This linen girdle worn around the linen coat, it was normally covered by the robe of blue. And then it would have been covered by the girdle of the ephod. The only time that this white linen girdle would have been seen would have been on the Day of Atonement. And as such, it was mostly hid. And you see, the most of our great high priest service, like this girdle, is hidden. It's not visible to the naked eye. And I have no doubt, believer, perhaps there's those times in your life that you think the Lord has forgotten you. The Lord is not there. But he is going ahead. He's covering, filling in the pitfalls that the devil has dug in your way. My, when you're going through those troubled times and you can't see him, my, he's there behind the cloud of glory, making intercession, praying for you. And because sometimes you don't see the girdle, you don't see the Savior's service, doesn't mean he's not serving you. It's hidden. Most of his service to you and to me, it's hidden. We don't see it. But he's working there for us. Not only was it secret, but his service is spotless. The girdle, which was needful for service, was made of fine linen. And as we have seen, fine linen speaks to us of righteousness. You see, Christ was not only pure in his being, but he was pure in his service. There was no taint, no corruption in it. And if we're to be like him, then we need to be pure in service. We need to be upright in our business, whatever our business is. We need to be upright in all that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, his service was strong. This girdle was wrapped around his loins. The loins speak in Scripture of strength and fruitfulness. And as such, his service as high priest was associated with strength and fruitfulness. You see, Christ, in all of his service, is strong and fruitful. His service can not only not be stopped, but it'll achieve his end. He knows no failure. Did he not say, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? All for whom Christ died will be brought safely in. He will not fail in his service. He will not fail in his office as our great high priest. And believer, as you come and you see the high priest there, and you see him there dressed in that linen robe over his shoulders, flowing to the ground, covering it right down to the end of his arms, he reminds you of Christ's perfect righteousness. As you see the girdle, it reminds you and me of his service. How he took the robes of a servant and he came to serve you and me. It's interesting to note that the other priests were also dressed in white linen, reminding you and I that we also need to be pure. Reminding you and I, we also are to be in service, serving Christ with all of our hearts and all of our lives. And could I say, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, then Christ wants to be your high priest. He wants to cover your sin. He wants to give you a robe weaved by him, by his life and by his death. A robe that will cover every sin, every transgression. He wants to give it to you. And I trust that as he offers it to you this morning, that you might take it and be covered in his righteousness. May God help us to be faithful and to be pure and to serve Christ with all of our hearts. We're going to close our service by singing together the words of our final hymn, the hymn 413. The hymn 413, "Take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek." The hymn 413, we're singing three verses of the hymn, and we're standing while we sing. Just to remind you, in leaving the service this morning, we'll ask those on this side to exit by this door, those on this side by this door, and then those in the gallery, let them go first, and they would exit by the front doors, and then say for those who can leave in the middle then. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Savior, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is holy, holy, holy. We thank thee for his service. We rejoice that though we at times are not aware of it, we thank thee that thou art making intercession even behind the cloud of glory. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us also to be holy. Help us, Lord, to serve thee with all of our hearts and to glorify thee. We pray for those who know thee not. Lord, we pray that they might come and be clothed even this day in the robes of thy righteousness. So part us with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us throughout this day. Help us to keep it holy unto thee. For in the Savior's name we pray. Amen.